Good to see everybody back this evening. Hope you've had a good day today. Appreciated Steve bringing this up this morning. I do think it was entirely appropriate, but we received really good news concerning little Paxton. Paxton is Leslie's nephew that had literally drowned. He was being watched very well, but it was one of those situations that has just, I think, happened to every one of us at one time or another, where something happened that was really unexpected, and he somehow was able to get out through one of those little pet doors, and his little cousins had left a gate open, and he got into the swimming pool and drowned. They're not sure how long he was underwater, but it was long enough to where he had lost his heartbeat, and it just so happened that some of the people there were very adept at being able to resuscitate him. They were able to get his breathing back and his heartbeat, of course, going again, and got him to the hospital. And at the hospital, they really did caution him. They let him know that what he was going to go through, the odds were against him, we'll put it that way. And yet, within a few weeks, he has really come to the point at 18 months where he was able to walk again before he left the hospital. He's able to have a memory as much as 18-month-old kids have a memory, and responding in ways that they did not expect him perhaps to ever get to. And so he's already got to come home. I believe he went home yesterday. And we do want to remember Paxton in our prayers, his father Steve and his mother Desiree in our prayers. And also with gratitude, that it's an amazing thing when we see our prayers answered so beautifully. And we know they always are, but it's always a blessing when they are answered in the way that we're hoping. And when we find out that what we're hoping for also turns out to be something that God is willing to do, it's an amazing thing what He can do. And so we've witnessed an incredible situation, and we're very blessed for them. Talked about the Psalms this morning and the treasure that is located in the Psalms as it is in all the Scriptures. I want to go back to a passage in Proverbs chapter 2 that talks about the way we need to approach God's Word in general. And I really am convinced if we will start looking at the Word of God as what it really is, it contains the keys to the greatest treasures that man can possess, because God is willing to allow man to possess that. And so in Proverbs chapter 2, verse 1, from wisdom standpoint, my son, if you accept my words and store up my commands within you, turning your ear to wisdom and applying your heart to understanding, and if you call out for insight and cry aloud for understanding, if you look for it as for silver and search for it as for hidden treasure, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom, and from his mouth come knowledge and understanding. This goal of attaining the understanding of the fear of God and finding the knowledge of God is an incredibly lofty goal. I don't think that you can have a goal that is greater in life short of salvation. And so when God is inspiring Solomon to write these things, we really ought to be attentive to what he's saying. He's saying, you search for it like you would for a treasure. I mentioned this morning, I've really enjoyed watching these YouTube videos of a guy who goes by the name Aqua Chigger, and I think it's just a fancy name for water bug. His name is in real life is Bo Oimet, and he is a Civil War historian. He has researched the Civil War. He has all sorts, apparently, of books and documents that go back to the Civil War. And he has gone back and he has looked at not only the battles and the things that have happened, but he's looked at where these battles have occurred. And he has combined that with his hobby of metal detecting. And by doing so, he has literally dug up in streams mainly. That's why he's called Aqua Chigger. It's because he does most of his metal detecting in about, I don't know, a foot or two of water. But he has obtained literally thousands of cannonballs from the Civil War and thousands of the shells that have been fired and some that have just been either thrown into the creek or have dropped by accident. He's got fired and non-fired ones. And it just has tens of thousands of bullets and those mini balls that they used during the Civil War. But it's fascinating to see him because he does such research. He finds out where the battles were. He gets his maps out and then he goes out there and he searches for it. And he's got a room that is filled with artifacts that would make a Civil War museum just drool over what he's got. And some of these things are worth over $1,000 each, so they really are treasures. But the thing is that he really has two things for it. He's got a passion for it and he's got a willingness to work for it. And because of that, he's been able to dig up these treasures. And then he's been able to share them with other people. One of the things I mentioned that I really like about him is he has a passion for it, a zeal, an exuberance. I like watching the videos. For one thing, the language is clean on it. So it's one of the few things I can watch online. But he just really enjoys what he's doing. You can kind of get caught up in the enthusiasm of it all. And the reason I bring that up is because as you read the Psalms, if you can observe the zeal that David has and the other writers have as they write these, as they are inspired by God to write these truths that God has for us, we are going to, I think, become more excited about our serving of the Lord. And we are going to find all sorts of treasures that are just buried in plain sight within the Scriptures. And it's going to change our lives. We talked this morning about the fact that we can really get inundated with the everyday of life. And life, I am convinced, by design, by God, has a lot of challenges with it. Some of those challenges are just needed challenges. They're things that we go through that everybody kind of goes through. Some of them are kind of a happenstance where you may have to go through this, somebody else may have to go through that. Not necessarily something that God designed specifically for your life, but there you are because you were at the intersection at the wrong time. You slipped on a puddle of water. You got cancer. Whatever it is, there are things like that. And then there are the things that we bring on our lives ourselves that cause destructive things to happen to our lives. And it's these things that I think are really important for us to step back and consider because I think sometimes if you're like me, you will be tempted to inundate yourself with the news or you'll be tempted to inundate yourself with things that are kind of negative just in and of themselves. I'm not saying that we don't keep up to date with the news. I think we need to. I think we need to keep up to date with politics. I think we need to have a little bit of an idea of what's going on with the economy. I think that as stewards of God's possessions here on earth, and especially when you talk about the possession of time, we need to be an informed people. But we don't need to be so informed that we're spending 95% of our time listening to the news of man and 5% or less of our time listening to the news of God, because one should be called the bad news and one is called the good news. And so as we go through this, look at these treasures. We talked in Psalms chapter 1. By the way, Psalm 69 verse 7, David said, "Zeal for your house consumes me." Now I realize full well that he is looking ahead, that there is a prophecy that is the main content of this passage, where he's talking about Jesus and what's going to happen with him and the way that Jesus is going to be consumed with zeal for God's house. But it also has a context of who David is and the fact that David is consumed with zeal for God's house. I think we need to be consumed with zeal in this way. I'm not talking about going overboard in an improper way, but I am talking about the idea of we've got to get over this junior high attitude that we seem to never get rid of. It didn't used to be junior high. It used to be high school. You remember back in the 50s, you had the punks that would come out of high school and they'd have the t-shirts and they'd have the cigarettes rolled up in their sleeve, and they were just bored by everything. Everything bored them, and that was called cool. James Dean really gave, fuel to that idea that if you were bored, you were cool. Well, that filtered down to junior high by the 70s, and as I was growing up in the 70s, the junior high kids thought it was really cool to be bored all the time, to be blasé, to not be excited about anything. And I noticed as I started coaching through the years, and as I coached more and more through the years, this attitude of feigned boredom is going down to the grade school. That's a lousy way to live. And if you get out of school and you're still that way, you've got problems. I don't mean that you've got mental problems. I mean that you've got problems that you're going to have to deal with because you don't have a zeal and a passion for the life that God has given to you. It's one thing for a sixth or a seventh grader to try to be fitting in and finding his niche in his community that he's part of, to be trying to have that coolness that everybody seems to long for. It's another thing when we're 30, we're 40, we're 50 or older, and nothing seems to move us. When you read the scriptures, if it doesn't move you, you may be dead spiritually. And or at least asleep, and you need to wake up. Zeal for your house consumes me needs to be a way of our life. It was a way of David's life, and David was called a man after God's own heart. It was also Christ's way of life, and we as Christians need to emulate him. So, looking at that zeal, we looked at Psalms chapter 1. Blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, or stand in the way of sinners, or sit in the seat of mockers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. I mentioned this Bo Oemet that treasure hunts. One of the things that has caused him to be so successful, as a matter of fact, probably the most successful one from a Civil War standpoint, is that he thinks about what he's doing. He gets the information and he thinks about it, and he plans where is going to be the most likely place that I can find these treasures. We need to be meditating on God's law day and night. And meditating means that we're thinking deeply about it. We're thinking about, okay, this is what God says. What does that mean for my life? How do I take this attribute that God says I must have and apply it to my life and make it part of me? We think deeply about these things. That's a treasure. When you realize that thinking about God's word is going to change your service and therefore it's going to change your life for the better, that's a treasure. Because people seek meaning in life. And a lot of people just flat out don't have that meaning. But God wants us to have a meaningful existence before him. In Psalms chapter 2, verse 11, another treasure, serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. There are a couple of puppies that love to see Carolyn coming when we're out on our walk. I can't remember what kind of puppies they are, but they're little short puppies, and I think they like Carolyn because, well, she's more their height. And anyway, these guys, they come out to greet her, and oh, they are happy. They've broken out of their pen for one thing, and so they're excited about that. And they're coming to Carolyn because Carolyn loves them, and so she's going to pet them. And they are just fairly trembling with excitement and probably a little bit of fear as well, because they know they're not supposed to be out. But you can see that trembling when David in Psalms chapter 2, in Psalms 2, even though it's not attributed to David, when you read Acts chapter 4, you see that Peter and John said that David wrote Psalms chapter 2, serve the Lord with fear and trembling and rejoice with trembling. There needs to be an excitement about this. The fear is certainly there as far as a literal terror of what he can do to us, but this fear goes way beyond that. It is an awe for God. It is an honoring of God. It is a recognition of his holiness and his might and his power and his glory and his strength. And so we just rejoice with trembling at the thought of being in his presence. But a lot of times we don't associate these two things with each other, fear and rejoicing. And yet when it comes to our service to God, they go together. So much excitement involved with that and enthusiasm that David says, serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. There's another treasure on how to serve and to live. And this is going to make your life extremely pleasant if we will just apply that to our lives. Psalms chapter 4 and verse 1. By the way, I mentioned I had my old Bible with me. These are passages I underlined years ago. I haven't used this Bible for a number of years because it pretty much fell apart. And I bought another Bible almost exactly like it. But these are things that I found years ago, treasures that I dug up, and I can go back to them and really enjoy them still. Psalms chapter 4 and verse 1. Answer me when I call to you, O my righteous God. Give me relief from my distress. Be merciful to me and hear my prayer. How long, O men, will you turn my glory into shame? How long will you love delusions and seek false gods? Know that the Lord has set apart the godly for himself. The Lord will hear when I call to him. Now, there's a lot there, but this verse 3 is what I really wanted to concentrate on as far as the treasure that's contained in there. Know that the Lord has set apart the godly for himself. You remember when you were a kid growing up and they were choosing teams? And you had the best athletes as the captains nearly all the time, and you wanted to be chosen first or second or third, not last. But you wanted to be chosen. You wanted to be selected by them and set apart for their team. And it was a thing of honor at the time. And we've kind of taken that away and because we don't want to hurt anybody's feelings, but know that the Lord has set apart the godly for himself. There is not a random selection here. This is something that God is literally searching for, people who are godly, and he is setting them apart. He is consecrating them for himself. And that's an incredible thing when you think that God has set us apart. You remember what it was like, those of you who are married, when you were engaged, and it was an exciting thought to think about somebody had set you apart for them. I can remember one guy one time saying, I could never respect anybody who would be with me. I kind of can relate to that. But the idea that somebody that you really respected and admired and loved had selected you, set you apart. Well, God has set us apart, the godly, for himself. And then he said, the Lord will hear when I call to him. We can go to God at any moment. I think it has to be respectful. I think it has to be with an awareness of who he is. But we can go to God at any moment, those who are in a covenant position with him. And we can rightfully expect that God will hear us when we call to him. That means that we have the Creator's ear. And God has promised us also his power, that he will hear us and that he'll answer our prayers. I can't think of anything that is better when we're in trouble to be able to go to the one who can fix it or the one who can help us get through it. I can't think of anything better than when we are happy to go to God in praise and thanksgiving. I can't think of anything better than to kneel before him in humble awe of his holiness, thinking about all the power and the glory and the might and the strength that he has. It's an incredible gift. It is a treasure, and it's just there for us to take at any time we wish to, if we will do that. Psalms chapter 5 and verse 12 says this, "For surely, O Lord, you bless the righteous. You surround them with your favor as with a shield." When we were in Chicago, it's been a few years ago now, we had gone with the girls. And so Carolyn and Charisse and Rebecca and I were walking in an area that we weren't very familiar with because we were kind of lost. And well, kind of lost, that means lost, doesn't it? Anyway, we were searching for a place that looked familiar. And we were walking, the underpasses there are not like they are at most places where you walk under a section of highway and you're through it. The underpasses there can be a half a mile long. And as we were coming up to this underpass, I saw on the side that we were walking on, in the darkness, underneath that underpass, a large group of people whom I didn't know, and nor whom did I really want to find out if they were friendly or not. And so I saw that, and so I said to Carolyn and the girls, "We need to cross the street right now." And, well, they didn't know why we were crossing the street because they hadn't looked up ahead. And so they're hollering at me, "Why are we crossing here?" And, you know, it's because I don't want to get shot by the hoodlums. That's why I didn't say that. But the thing is that God surrounds us with his favor as with a shield. It would have been really nice to have had a shield right then. Now, there's probably just really friendly people. I don't know. That's not true. They probably weren't very friendly people. And it would have been good to have had a shield. But, you know, we did have a shield because we were able to go to God in silent prayer even as we're crossing the street and ask for his protection. And we knew that he would give it to us if it was his will to do so. But you just think about the way that God surrounds us with his favor as with a shield. From a spiritual standpoint, that means that we can be with him forever. We sang a song this morning, "I'm Redeemed." I love that song. That means we've been bought back. We were purchased with a price. We were purchased with the blood of Christ. We've been redeemed, and that gives us the right to be surrounded with God's favor as with a shield. Incredible blessings that we have. We've just touched on a few of them this evening. I want to encourage you, if you have the time, to really dig into all the Scripture, but especially the Psalms this week, since that's where we're at right now in our readings, and really appreciate what God has done for you, and really be attentive to the treasure that he has for you, and then to really think about what it means, and what a delightful life you have because of that. It's a wonderful thing God has done for us if we'll just take advantage of it. The invitation's open tonight. There's always a chance that there might be somebody who's ready to become a Christian or that needs the prayers of the congregation. But if you have any needs right now, won't you come forward and let us know while we stand and sing.